Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Before we head into this interview, I just need to remind you that Vivo Barefoot has given us a 25% discount for you guys. This is huge. Please use this discount. It is TOB25. You get 25% off shoes that are not already discounted. And the great thing about Vivo Barefoot is that they really help to build the strength of your foot just by wearing the shoe. You take your foot back to its natural form. It's the only shoes Dom and I and our baby wear, and I highly recommend it to everyone. I've got so many reports of people who have gotten out of foot pain, no longer have to deal with plantar fasciitis, and all because they finally listened to me and got some Vivo Barefoot shoes. So if you haven't yet, or you want another pair, use TOB25 and get 25% off your next pair. We'll have it linked up in our show notes. Use TOB25.
We are excited to bring you this next guest and really talk into the pillars of holistic health. Dr. Mapube is a licensed naturopathic doctor and board certified in biofeedback. She is the founder and creator of Body Aligned, an online program that is designed to help women heal their anxiety without the use of medications. Over the years, she has worked with patients with a variety of health challenges such as hormonal imbalances, gut issues, autoimmune disorders, cancers, depressions, anxieties, and more. And what she continually observed is that our body and mind have the capacity to heal. Yet she saw that there were way too many women on antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications, unfortunately starting from a very young age with no end in sight. So she set out to change that. Body Aligned is a culmination of years of working with patients and distilling down all the lifestyle strategies that are going to help you drastically move the needle towards establishing physical and emotional health. Her mission is to help women become more resilient and understand the power that lies in their daily habits and in how they choose to respond to life. She wants to inspire women to learn how their bodies function so that they can develop a sense of agency over their health. She strongly believes that you can transform not only your anxiety, but also every single aspect of your health through deep understanding and connection with your body and knowing how to support it. I love this conversation, and I love how we really talk about the integration of all the different aspects of emotional, physical, spiritual, mental health. Let's get to it.
Dr. Mahabai, I just really appreciate you being here and taking the time. I know I've learned from you years ago when I got to come in and experience getting treated with you, and the expertise and the knowledge that you have and the way that you explain things and have so much compassion for humans is really what drew me to you. But I appreciate you being here, and I know we have so much to dive into that's really going to help people get to the root cause of their healing and their body. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you to you for having me.
So I know that, you know, just looking through your content, it's clear that you have a big passion and focus in helping women overcome anxiety and get off medication, which is common for so many. I feel like that's becoming more and more of a theme these days. Why did you particularly want to focus your practice into this area?
So that's a very good question. I wouldn't say that has been the only type of patient that I've received. However, I started noticing that along with other complaints, women were coming to me, just patients in general, but particularly women were coming to me regardless of their age. They were put on anti-anxiety, antidepressant meds for way too long, sometimes from the moment they got to know themselves and early on some sort of a mood stabilizer. And then, you know, as the years went on and hormones started to play a role in and life happened, then polypharmacy happened. And so there didn't seem to be any end in sight, and other facets of life were not looking at the potentially other contributing factors. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was just a shame, because these medications alone will not and cannot save us, because they do not give us the, one, they do not address the root cause of what potentially is contributing to our anxiety and or depression to begin with.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're not giving us the tools that we need to be able to cope with life and with stressors. And so I just wanted to change that. There's a lot that we can do to help.
100%. And I think that's what we're going to dive in on today. I mean, yes. Essentially, you know, you really believe that the body can heal itself, and so do Dom and I. We're huge believers in, you know, setting up the environment so that your body can do what it's created to do. But what does this really mean? Like, how do we create this best environment to allow healing to occur?
That is that is the basis of all of my work. If we believe that, actually, it's one of the philosophies of naturopathic medicine, that nature heals. Mm-hmm. And we are nature, therefore we heal. And sometimes we hear these words or phrases so often that we become desensitized to it. So like you said, let's break it down. I use the word heal very intentionally and deliberately, because if you think about it, if you have a broken chair or a broken table and you leave it and come back and check on it in a year, nothing has happened. You still have that broken chair or table. But our bodies are not like that. So when we say your body has the ability to heal itself, we literally mean that your body can repair and regenerate and recover in all the ways and fully. And this does not mean, well, Dr. Mahbuba said my body can heal itself, so therefore I'm just sitting here doing nothing. No, that does it means that, like you said, our job is to provide that environment. So by understanding how our physiology and our psychology works, we can become allies. We can do the things that will support and will create that environment for the healing to be able to take place. So this is not some, let's string a bunch of words that, you know, sound good together. This mm-hmm. is actually literally how we function. Mm.
And I think, I mean, you bring up some great examples, and I mean, my science brain always connects with the whole nature versus nurture conversation, and where people say, if you take three different cells or three different, you know, samples and put them in three completely different petri dishes with vastly different environments, different things will happen. And so setting up our environment can be so, so important. And something that I'm sure we have in common is the focus on treating the person as a whole. And I think this is a frustration that we might share with what we might see some mainstream medical systems, that we don't see a lot of focus on the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual person all being treated as one. Why do you think that it's important that we look at people this way when we talk about optimizing our health?
Is there any other way? Is there a better way? You know, the fact that we have used that model and we are where we're at with our health at all levels, physical, mental, and emotional, should say something to us about perhaps needing to change course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of it, maybe even going back to Jen, the first question you asked me is, why did I choose to, you know, spend a long time writing and creating this course about this topic, is because a lot of it comes from disconnection. Mm. Our disconnection from our bodies, which again, everything that we've talked about thus far, about understanding that the body heals itself and wanting to treat the person wholly and holistically, rests upon that. And so the medical establishment aside, even in our own individual lives, with how distracted in all the ways we are, one of the best things, one of the best acts of rebellion, for lack of a better word, we can do, is to stay present and stay connected and stay awake. And maybe perhaps some of the things that we will talk about in terms of lifestyle medicine, they're all there to do exactly that. Mm-hmm. And I will add one other thing in terms of that piece about the body healing itself. Someone might ask themselves, well, what's the value of seeing things in that way? Who cares if, well, the body heals itself, or I take a supplement and my body, you know, the supplement does the thing for me, or the medication does the thing for me. It matters because of the way you look and you treat, you understand your body, you understand your existence. Because if you understand that your body is on your side, your body has got you, and healing is not random. That trust that it creates with you in terms of your relationship with your body is very different than you thinking that you need to constantly be frantic, needing to control, needing to micromanage and demand health from your body.
I think that's the biggest challenge, at least from what I've seen working with patients in pain, you know, is we do want to force out the pain. I need to control this. I need yes. to get this out right now. I need to do this. And it becomes more stressful because we're putting so much expectations on trying to control an outcome. And so I love what you're talking about. And it kind of takes me back to of like thinking, you know, if we're looking at a dog or a plant even, or a child, we're caring so much about all of these aspects. Are they getting the love, the care, the nutrition, the all these aspects into their life? Yet we forget to do that for ourselves.
1,000%. And the patience for the process. We forget that some of us have spent years, if not decades, neglecting this amazing system, this vehicle that we've been experiencing life through. And now all of a sudden, because of a diagnosis or some sort of a pain, or whether it's physical or mental, emotional, mm-hmm. our attention is being diverted to, oh, I need to take care of my body. And then that slight attention, or sorry, care, comes with a lot of expectation. Mm-hmm. We expect that I eat a healthy meal for, you know, 2 days, or I work out for 1 week. Why is my body not looking that way? Why am I not losing enough weight? Why is my pain and ache and my inflammation not gone? And it creates this transactional relationship with the mm-hmm. body, which is maybe at the crux of what I hope to get across to our audience today, that there's no way that can serve us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just if for nothing else, for the mental construct that it creates for us, this constant sense of resentment, this constant sense of our body is just this source of inconvenience for us.
And I think that a lot of people start to develop that distrust. And
yeah,
a lot of people that both Jen and I have worked with, and I'm sure a lot of your patients as well, get to you by the point that they've seen 20 different providers and had 25, 30 different things done to them, and none of it worked. And yes. it's at that point where it's so ingrained in our mind that in order to heal, in order to get a certain result, in order to get rid of this diagnosis or this pain, something needs to be done to me. And that's, I think, where a lot of the healing needs to start for a lot of yes. people, is shifting that whole mindset and paradigm, which sometimes often is the most difficult part.
1,000%. I could not agree more. And that's why, even though, yes, I'm a naturopathic doctor, yes, I run labs, yes, I recommend supplements, and yes, I get patients that are already on medication, and there's a time and a place for all of these tools. They can be valuable. However, so long as we continue to put, to outsource our health, to not have a sense of agency or our health, and constantly give the power to an external source, whatever that may be, a system, a person, a substance, a tool, the true deep healing, as you beautifully called it, will not happen. Mm-hmm. And so maybe just to summarize this, in my humble experience and opinion, we cannot supplement, medicate, and biohack our way out of an unhealthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And the lifestyle, you know, constitutes all the physical, but also all the mental, emotional aspects of well-being.
Yeah. And I feel like people are starting to get that a little bit more, but we've been so, you know, with social media blowing up over the last, what, decade? It's biohacking, supplementation, it's been the cool thing of, oh, I could just do this, or I could fix myself with this tool or this supplement, instead of really, well, let's take a step back and look at my entire life here for a second. And something that you say that I really loved and I haven't really heard much is that we are not what we eat, but how we live. And that's big, because everyone wants, what's the perfect diet, and what do I need to eat, and when do I need to eat? You know, there's so many of just like, what do I eat to be healthy, rather than really looking at the entire picture of how someone's actually living.
Yes, yes. And yes, where do I begin? Absolutely. It basically goes back to everything that we've talked about, mm-hmm. and more. We definitely are not only what we eat, because I have patients that eat perfectly, although perfect in, I'm using quotations, and that's debatable, but eating relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Yet their health, physical, mental, emotional, is not where they want it to be. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more that goes into what creates an environment of health and well-being for us, beyond just what we put into our mouth, as important as that is. This is not to diminish the importance of nourishment and nutrition. There's no denying that, but there's a lot more that goes into that. So hydration, which even I feel like in health circles, we don't talk enough about it. Sleep, movement, which both of you are experts in, and as a result, I'm sure, you know, your audience is as well, at least well-informed, being aware, adopting a toxin-free way of life, or paying attention to environmental toxicants, mm-hmm. stress management, which is not my favorite term. I'd much rather use the words, you know, building resiliency, and then of course, relationships. So relationship with ourselves as well as with others. So this is kind of how I see, or how I break down this whole world or genre of lifestyle medicine, or what truly the 6 or 7 levers that we can pull on to truly improve our health. And without that, more often than not, whatever else we do, we'll either not see results, or the results will be temporary. Mm.
So now I'm going to ask the question. First of all, I think the pillars and the levers of health that you listed off right there are amazing. And I'm going to ask the question that everyone listening is wondering, so what do I do?
Yes.
So tell me, Dr. Mapube, what exactly do I need to do? So I don't know if there are just like, of course you can't cover all of the, you know, things that you would cover with people in sessions and being, having them with one of your patients, but are there like 2 or 3 general recommendations on if people just want to start living, you know, a more holistic lifestyle medicine way of life, what would you recommend?
So I would say, I think we've harped on this point enough, but just maybe even one more time, please, please know, whether you want to prevent disease, treat disease, whether you want a better metabolism, better gut health, better mood, a more regulated nervous system, better functioning immune system, more balanced hormones, better skin, and much, much more. Start with the foundations. The foundations is the daily choices, your daily habits, how you choose to live your life every day and respond to life. This is what's going to make the dent. And now in terms of the specifics, of course, we can spend a whole podcast on each of these, truly, to give them maybe the, or do them justice. But just because I said we don't focus enough on hydration, you know, maybe we can start there if it's okay with both of you.
Definitely. What does that Absolutely. Mean? Is it just drinking water? Do we have to add electrolytes? I think there's a lot on hydration alone that we can cover.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And so I would say most of us, when we think about hydration, we think about, okay, I need to drink more water. I don't get enough water. And that is great. Even the type of the quality of water and the source of water, all of that, it, again, these are topics that we can get into in depth, but maybe at a different time, different water filtration systems and all of that. But outside of just drinking water, we need to think deeper and see this as, okay, if I want hydration at a cellular level, what do I need to do? And you said it. So electrolytes, or even using a bigger umbrella term, minerals mm-hmm. are hugely important, because if we understand that, okay, the majority of us, so we're made more from water than anything else, over 70% of our body. And we have fluid outside of ourselves and inside of ourselves. And these minerals are the gatekeepers. They determine how much fluid goes in and how much fluid leaves the cell. And why is that important? This fluid balance plays a role in a lot of our physiology. But outside of that, we can think about minerals as basically cofactors. What are cofactors? Cofactors are the things that, the agents that make things happen, in plain English. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to use a scientific definition, they basically make enzymatic reactions, or biochemical reactions happen in the body. So they facilitate these reactions. And without them, and what does that again mean? It means if you want to create hormones, to produce hormones, if you want to produce energy, if you want to be able to detoxify naturally, you need these minerals. And maybe we should introduce them. So when I say minerals, I'm talking about sodium, magnesium, chloride, calcium, phosphorus, and then you have trace minerals like manganese, molybdenum, iron, zinc, iodine, and things like that.
So are you recommending that, you know, we're adding all of this to our water? Is that including what we're getting through our diet? How do we know how much we're supposed to be adding?
Sure.
Is there a way to gauge?
Yes. Objectively, yes, you can. You can run a micronutrient panel, but not all of us are going to have access to that and to be able to do that. So my preference always, always, always is whatever we can get from our food first. Mm-hmm. And then if we need to delve deeper or we need to supplement extra because the demand on your body is more and we need to do that, we can absolutely do that as well. So you definitely, again, the source of your water matters. If you're using a filter, let's say that is reverse osmosis, that pretty much takes out everything, the good and the bad. It's naked water. And so being mindful of your mineral and electrolyte intake is even more important. Outside of that, I would say we actually, we have this group of food or nutrients that are amazing, yet there's so much controversy around it. And it's called fruits. Mm. And so fruits can be extremely hydrating and rich in minerals and electrolytes. And especially we're entering spring and summer, where the melon family is coming. It's the season four. So fruits are an amazing source of hydration. And then, you know, of course, we know about coconut water. Mm-hmm. We know, some of you might know about aloe vera juice. If we can find it without added preservatives and additives, it's an amazing rich source of both vitamin C and potassium. And then you have herbal teas that they each have their own, you know, depending on the type, they have their own flavor. Just adding simply freshly squeezed lemon or lime juice to your water can be amazing. Adding slices of cucumber, berries, just things that will add extra nourishment to your body. You really do not have to make it complicated. And then there's, of course, electrolytes that we can purchase, but just being mindful, again, not having a lot of added things mm-hmm. in there. My only caveat with sometimes electrolytes and multivitamins is that sometimes they contain things that, unless we absolutely know we need extra of, we take them in on a daily basis and they can go in there and kind of create an imbalance. So having these minerals is important, but the ratio of these minerals relative to one another is also important. And we want to not necessarily manipulate that a lot. Again, unless it's based on testing and the fact that we know. But I'm sure, you know, you to have clean electrolyte brands that you use that are, you know, and I have a couple that sometimes I use with patients or recommend that. And salt, you know, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
So all of these are great options.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you brought up a great point, and this is something, it's a way that I've always lived my life, is like whatever I can get from food first and whatever I can make sure that I'm trying to take in its most natural form through food in a way that my body and nature intended for me to get this, that's where I'm going to default first. And then look to the places that I might need to supplement a little bit extra to get those optimal levels. So, and again, I know diet is another massive, massive topic that would take multiple podcasts to fully cover. But if we were going to say, and I think that this is the wrong way of approaching the question, which is why I'm going to ask it this way, what is the best diet? That's what everyone's looking for. You know, everyone's looking online, looking, combing through social media. What's the best diet for me? So again, are there general recommendations that you'll start with people on how to start eating a more, you know, fulfilling diet?
Yes. As you said, I don't think, unfortunately, you know, the world of nutritional science has turned into a religion and this dogmatic, strict way of looking at things, which is really, with the rate at which we learn about nutrition and our bodies, it really is crazy to think that, you know, we think there's just these hard, fast rules, which there are none. However, like you said, I love the latter part of your question, which you said, you know, there are these frameworks, maybe principles, for lack of a better word, that we can use to approach or to look at nourishment and nutrition. And I'm debating whether to go there, to spend too much or to divide my time between that and talking about blood sugar regulation, or just focus on that. Any sense of where it would be more helpful for our audience to divide the time between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I think understanding blood sugar regulation plays a huge role in nutrition, and understanding why that's important and how to best, you know, kind of understand this regulation process can be really beneficial for people.
Okay. I love that. That way, maybe I can touch upon that. And then as I answer that, maybe we can talk about, okay, how can we support it? Which then answers the question of maybe what diet would be best, if there is even such a thing. So in terms of, there are these, we talked about pillars, we talked about levers, and blood sugar regulation and blood sugar balance is one of those things that if we pay attention to it, if we prioritize it, we will get a lot of bang for our buck. So that's why maybe it deserves a few minutes of pause here. So if we think about, like many things, we're getting educated with sound bites. So we learn that high blood sugar levels are bad. Okay, does that mean low is good? Does that mean the lower, the better? Mm. Or high cholesterol is bad? Does that mean the lower, the better? Or we hear that sympathetic nervous system, too much sympathetic nervous system or fight or flight is bad. Does that mean we don't need it? It's just like this unnecessary thing that we need to do away with. No, no, and no. So with blood sugar levels, yes, high blood sugar is problematic. We all know about the ramifications of that. But too low of blood sugar levels for too long are also quite problematic. Mm-hmm. Low blood sugar levels, or in general, maybe wrapping it up in the category of blood sugar dysregulation, is a form of stress for the body. just like lack of sleep is. The good news is that it's a form of stress that we have control over. And sometimes, unfortunately, initially, running on stress hormones, so cortisol and adrenaline hormones, feels good or feel good until it doesn't. So it comes at a cost to us. So it behooves us to pay attention to that. So we learned that, okay, high blood sugar is not good. Too low of blood sugar is not good. Yet we want variability. There's no way around that. The minute you put food into your mouth, your blood sugar, regardless of the content of the food, your blood sugar will go up. So variability is okay. But what we don't want is huge swings. Mm-hmm. We want controlled variability. So, and we want to be able to maintain that throughout the day. Therefore, this means, so in, when if you translate that to what we eat, how we eat, when we first are breaking our fast in the morning, hopefully we're not doing it with a black cup of coffee and some sort of fruit juice, especially from a concentrate, or with black coffee and a croissant, right? So having balanced meals, if the goal is to keep our blood sugar balanced, we know certain things about certain food groups, right? We know that carbohydrates paired with protein and fat are extremely helpful for maintaining, balancing, regulating our blood sugar levels. And what does that even mean? So I cannot begin to tell you the number of patients and women I've had over the years where they think that there's something horribly wrong with them, both physically and emotionally. And they're looking for that diagnosis. And all we do, or one of the main things that we do, is balance their blood sugar levels, and everything starts to fall into place. Mm. They start to feel like themselves again, you know, and not out of control, being able to just handle life and handle stress. So balanced meals. And by balanced meals, I don't mean equal, exact equal amounts of all the macros at every single meal. But what I'm saying is having enough of the three macros throughout the day and not demonizing any of them, including carbohydrates, especially for us women. Our hormones and our nervous system thrives on having all three.
That's huge. I mean, especially for women, I think we've, over the years, been conditioned to believe that carbs are really bad. What I had seen when I was going and learning a little bit more about my own blood sugar and trying to regulate it is I did have to be a little bit more mindful. Okay, maybe instead of an egg sandwich or bagel, I had my eggs and proteins first, and then I had my bagel after, not excluding it, but just changing the way in which I was consuming it. So is this something that you kind of recommend being mindful of? Is there a way to really be understanding of what our plate kind of looks like?
1,000%. Yes. Yes. Sometimes if it helps, you know, so we can use technology to our advantage. There are always exceptions. So in this conversation, we're not talking about cases where technology is definitely more advantageous than not. But in just regular cases, sometimes it's helpful to, let's say, have a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor, just to educate you that, hey, if you do this, if you have a 15-minute brisk walk before or after your meal, this is what happens to your blood sugar levels. And if you eat that same meal without that walk, this is what happens. Or if you have a good night's sleep and then you eat this meal the next day, this is what happens to your blood sugar levels versus, you know, if you have that same meal after a crappy night of sleep, there's a whole different scenario. So 1,000%. And I would say when I first start to work with patients, I don't want to make these changes extremely stressful and give a million instructions. I try to get them to become more in tune with their body. And it's amazing how once we start to adopt some of these changes and become consistent, how our bodies will tell us. Yeah. So exactly like what you said, you know, I don't know if this was an internal sense or you were doing blood draws or you were wearing a CGM, but you will know. You will know that even, let's say, me having a potato versus a bagel will make a difference for me, you know, sweet potato or a bagel, or if I have a squash versus a bagel and I do better with this versus that. So there is a little bit of trial and error. I have certain no-nos. Like, so for me, please stay away from highly processed carbohydrates and just highly processed foods. And we all know that it's not something novel that I'm introducing here. Outside of that, I will introduce healthy options and I will say, pick and choose and see what works for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I've noticed is if we are coming from a period of, and maybe we're introducing another topic here as well, if you're coming out of a period of restrictive dieting, initially, as you start to listen to your body signals, you might feel like, oh my goodness, my appetite is insatiable. I cannot stop eating. And I'm here to tell you that that is not abnormal. It's okay. Your body is trying to find its balance. Finally, you're starting to leave that fight or flight where your body, where every single calorie had to fight for its life. And you're starting to come down from your stress hormones are starting to come down. And you will get to a saturation point. You will come to a point of balance. So not fearing that I'm eating 2 to 3 times as much as I used to, and maybe I'm not as active or whatever the case is, but eating enough, giving yourself the permission to eat enough and eat enough of the right foods.
Mm. I like that. So to kind of wrap up, and I know there's so much left unsaid that, you know, topics we could dive more and more into, but you'd like to say that we heal in layers. And I kind of wanted to dive into what exactly does that mean? It makes me think of Shrek, like I've got layers, I'm like an onion. But we heal in layers. How would you explain that more?
Yes, 1000%. And I love the onion layering analogy because I actually use that as well with people. So I often have, you know, students ask me, so if you had this case with this patient, where would you start? And I think what I've seen clinically work is that even though more often than not, our health concerns, challenges are not just due to one thing, they're multifaceted. And at the root of them, it's not just physical stuff, it's also emotional, spiritual things. The order of operations matter, meaning starting with the physical, establishing a solid foundation with some of the things that we've talked about, and like you said, a lot that we don't have time for right now, starting there is so, so helpful because most of us are way too nutritionally deficient, metabolically, hormonally imbalanced, inflamed, tired to be able to dig deep and do inner work. So if we start with the physical, if we get our energy back, if we start to be able to regulate our mood and have extra energy, then other things will start to naturally and organically happen. And that's what I've seen time and again, where I used to always want to do it all with everyone and help them to improve their lives and their health physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I realized that that's actually can be quite stressful for people. They're just not equipped yet to be able, most of us barely have energy to get through what we need to get through every day.
Yeah.
And we just have only what it needs, what we need to just make do. There's no surplus of energy. So adding to our savings account first, establishing the physical health, and then little by little, allowing space. You know, once you have mental clarity, once the brain fog has lifted, once you have energy, once that vital force, which we can experience it as libido, as drive, as just sense of feeling alive courses through your veins, then you develop the confidence to say, you know what, this relationship, this job that I'm in, this other scenario, this purpose of life, like these are the things that I can attend to. And I can attend to from a place of resolve, from a place of resilience, and not from a place of being frantic or anxious or just purely depleted.
Yeah. And it can be a lot, you know, and it can be overwhelming. And I think you highlighting that and giving people permission to step back and just start smaller and start in those layers is the key, is the key to taking off that stress, that tension, that control that we talked about from the very beginning and starting to dive in on this. Where could people who want to understand more and hear more from you or learn a little bit more about each of these layers and each of these levers, where can they go to learn a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely. And I'm just going to add one sentence to what you said, Jen.
Yes.
There, slow and steady wins. Everything in our body, our nervous system, in order for us to be able to understand, assimilate the changes, they need to be able to be digested by our bodies first. So slow and steady wins always. And for all things on everything that we talked about and more, I'm actually in the process of launching an online course called Body Aligned. It is for women who want to heal their anxiety without the use of medications. Whether you're on medication or you have been diagnosed, yet you're apprehensive about taking meds, or you have a sense that this is something that is present in your life and you want to do something about it, you don't know where to go next. And even if that's not the case for you, but you just want to improve your health, you want to once and for all understand how your body functions, how your physiology and psychology work, and how you can best support them, the course can hopefully, or that is my intention for it, to shed some light in that area for you. And the website for it is getbodyaligned.com. And that's not aligned with an N only. There's an ED at the end. Or follow me on Instagram at Dr. Mahbube, and I will spell it quickly just because it's not an easy one to just guess. So it's DrMahbubeh.
Amazing. And we'll have all of that linked up as well so that people can understand where to find you and continue to learn and feel what it could be to feel body aligned. So thank you so, so much.
You're so more than welcome. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you, and thank you so much again for giving me the space.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Optimal Body Podcast. We appreciate you listening and everything Mahbube had to share about really taking care of the whole person. Hopefully you really take that in and start to observe what's happening within your own body in every part of your life. We really appreciate you being here. And of course, if you heard something that you know can benefit someone else, please share it. And if you haven't yet, we'd really appreciate a rating and review. It just helps so that this podcast gets out to so many more people. We'll see you back on the next podcast.